Hey everyone, and welcome to Chef AJ Live. I'm your host, Chef AJ, and this is where I introduce you to amazing people like you who are doing great things in the world that I think you should know about. Well, I have two very special guests today here to talk about this wonderful book that's going to be out in 5 days. It's called The Power Foods Diet, the breakthrough plan that traps, tames, and burns calories for easy and permanent weight loss. This is your alternative to Ozempic, which you're going to find out is not the panacea that people believe. It's written by Dr. Neil Barnard, and he's here to talk about this new book, which we hope you'll get now, because you know, it really helps us plant-based people. It helps all authors. If you buy the book in advance of it coming out, it gets the attention of more major publishers, and people realize how important plant-based nutrition is in these types of books, and also helps the author become a New York Times bestseller if you get it in the first few days. So please first welcome the author of this fabulous new book, Dr. Neil Barnard.
Well, thank you, AJ. It's great to be with you again.
Thank you, Dr. Barnard. So Power Foods Diet, how come you wrote this book and how come you wrote it now?
Well, you know, there's been a shift over time. The old idea was you've got to just starve yourself, don't eat so many calories, or don't eat carbs. And that's kind of given way to a more modern approach to thinking about food patterns, dietary patterns. The idea is less on how much are you eating and more on what types of foods are predominating in your diet. That's been a good approach. However, what we've discovered is going beyond that. It's not just, say, plant-based is good and animal-based is bad, although that's certainly true. A plant-based diet helps people lose weight. But within a plant-based diet, different foods have different effects. Obviously, a potato versus potato chips or something like that, obvious differences. But then there are some that just really stand out. And so I thought, okay, let's take the standout foods, the power foods that have one of three effects. Either they help reduce your appetite, or they trap calories in your digestive tract so you can never absorb them, or they boost your metabolism. And certain foods do these, so heck, let's make them into lasagna or soup or a salad or a dessert, or let's make them into real foods so that instead of not eating, we're enjoying the foods again. That's the idea behind the Power Foods Diet.
Who discovered that certain foods have more of a potential to help people lose weight and be more satisfied?
Well, lots of research teams, including our team here at the Physicians Committee, have been working on this. But let me say kind of a word of thanks to our friends at Harvard. Because it was 2015, Harvard University researchers, and these are people you know too, AJ, they've been tracking more than 100,000 people. And they looked at which foods people were eating more of as time went on. And it turned out, the Harvard researchers found that if you ate more and more and more of certain foods, your weight would go down and down and down. Now, wait a minute. How can it be that you're eating more and you're losing weight? Well, if it's a food that is, say, high in fiber and is really filling without a lot of calories, the more you're eating that instead of something else, you're going to do better. So let me just get maybe, AJ, just let me just mention some of the foods that they picked on. And that's kind of our starting point, but we're going to go way beyond that. At the top of the list of the weight loss foods was the humble, unassuming blueberry and all of its cousins, the strawberry and the raspberry and, you know, the whole list. Great foods, neglected foods, but they have fiber, yes. They have low glycemic index sugar, so they're absorbed gradually. But they also have anthocyanins, which are the pigments in them that seem to be biologically active. Now, number two was the cruciferous vegetables. All your pals, broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts. But then the number three was green vegetables more broadly, like spinach or asparagus. And then we come to the fourth group, which would be citrus fruits. And citrus fruits counted even if it was fruit juice. The much maligned juice. People say eat the whole fruit, you know, and that's right. It's good to eat the whole fruit. But even juice counted. It helped. And then after that, we have melons. So melons, watermelon, cantaloupe, no big surprise. I mean, high fiber, lots of water, everybody loves them, you know. But the sixth group was the bean. The beans are the fiber champions. They got healthy complex carbohydrates, and they come in beans, they come in lentils, they come in all these different wonderful forms that our grandparents knew all about, and kids today wouldn't even recognize them if it hit them in the face. Kids don't know about these things. So we got to bring back the bean. So those are the ones that the Harvard researchers picked out. But then other researchers looked at certain spices, cinnamon, ginger, the capsaicins and hot peppers, Yes. And lots of others too. So we worked with our recipe developers, Dustin Harder, who is a genius, and Lindsay Nixon, who is another genius. And they just made these into the greatest recipes you've ever seen.
They looked at foods that can help weight loss. Did they also discover which foods do the opposite?
Oh my goodness sakes, you know what some of these are. And some of these are really pitched as healthy foods. Salmon, wild caught salmon from Whole Foods. You know, okay, I'm kidding a little bit. But you know, a lot of people have the idea that if I eat that, I will lose weight. But they're getting a little mixed up with it. Salmon has a lot of fat in it, and it may be better quality fat than, say, beef fat, but it's still a lot of fat. Atlantic salmon has about 40% fat as a percentage of calories. If it's Chinook, it's about 50% or a little higher. And one thing fish eaters very often discover is they're not losing weight. They're doing what they're supposed to do, what the doctor said, but I'm eating all this fish and I'm not losing weight. Well, it has zero fiber, zero complex carbohydrates to fill you up. It's got a lot, it's basically a lot of protein and animal fat. And so it will fill you up. But by the time it fills you up, you've eaten so many calories that weight loss just isn't happening. So yeah, that's one that is overrated. Another one that's really overrated, and that's coconut oil. Now, you know, coconut oil, oh, it's organic, da da da, it has a great mouthfeel. And you know, it does. You can see why people add it to everything. Because it's got a mouthfeel akin to Vaseline. But unfortunately, it will raise your cholesterol levels, and same with palm oil. So it's sad. You'll buy some peanut butter. You know, peanuts alone would do it, but they throw palm oil in there. And these are cholesterol-raising oils. So I encourage people to ignore the marketing for them and to leave them out of their diets.
Well, you know, when you talk about the foods that help you lose weight and the foods that hinder it, the foods that help people lose weight seem to be the foods that are found in nature in their whole food form that have been around through pretty much all of human history. And the ones that don't are foods that either our ancestors didn't eat at all, like oil, or ate very rarely.
Well, yes, fruits, vegetables, beans, whole grains, they really come in tops. But you know what? You can make these into 21st century foods. We found that cinnamon tends to boost the metabolism a little bit. It contains a natural aldehyde that causes adrenaline to go into your blood just slightly so that your metabolism ramps up. Cinnamon is great. Blueberries are great. We made blueberry syrup to pour on my cinnamon French toast. So it's America's favorite breakfast. You know, fabulous. But you can lose weight consuming these healthy foods. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not suggesting that people take a funnel and just jam food in. It's good to eat healthful foods in the quantities that seem right for you. We don't want to be overdoing it and going crazy with it, but you can love the foods that love you back.
Absolutely. And you know, a lot of people eat oatmeal for breakfast or oat groats, and a lot of times they'll put cinnamon and blueberry in. So they're eating these foods already. Would eating these foods be helpful if somebody was eating the standard American diet and just decided to eat some blueberries and cinnamon?
Sure, they help. And what really helps a lot is you eat more and more blueberries. And if you eat so many blueberries that it pushes the eggs and bacon off your table, then that's going to really help enormously. And so, we've had a lot of fun with them. I mentioned the French toast with blueberry syrup, but let's say it's lunchtime and you want to have a lentil soup or a minestrone or a pasta fagioli, the Italian pasta and bean soup. It's just great. And all of these are power foods. You can have bean burritos and veggie chilies and all kinds of things. And by the way, I want to say a big hi to Stephanie Ignafo, who's here with us as well. And Stephanie has been a big inspiration for me because she's been talking really about how to make these foods work in your life and in everybody's life, because she's done it in her life too.
Right. Well, my next question was going to be, does this work? And that was going to be my segue to introduce Stephanie, who's been on the show before. She has lost 100 pounds eating the kind of foods that Dr. Barnard recommends in this book. I've put the link in the chat in the show notes, so please get it now. Welcome back, Stephanie. So you've lost 100 pounds. Have you kept it off?
11 years later, I've kept it off, eating exactly the way he describes in this book. It's marvelous.
That's amazing. What do you like to eat from the foods that Dr. Barnard mentioned?
Well, I love blueberries. We eat blueberries probably every day here. I love melons. I love kale. I love lentils. I love brown rice. I love potatoes. And I didn't realize at the time when I started this that these were so powerful. But tried and true, 11 years later, we're keeping it off and we're still eating our plants off over here.
I love that, eating your plants up. How long did it take you to lose the 100?
It took about 10 months to do it. I mean, luckily, we weren't having obstacles with transition foods, Beyond Burgers, and stuff like that weren't really out at the time. So it was the power foods, like you said, the natural foods, the grains, the greens, the fruits, the vegetables, and the lentils kept us full, kept us going. And I just want to inspire other people to do the same too.
Absolutely. Are there any foods from your previous lifestyle that you miss that you haven't been able to recreate?
No, we've been able to pretty much recreate everything that we enjoy and love. And, being a food for life instructor with the Physicians Committee, I think I'm in 270 classes I've taught, 3 to 4 different recipes a week, no oil. I've never seen so many foods, flavors, cuisines. If, quite honestly, Chef AJ, we're eating way more things than we've ever eaten.
Yeah, that's amazing. Hey, Dr. Barnard, isn't this like your 20th or 21st book, The Power Foods Diet?
Hey, we don't count calories, and I guess we don't count books either, do we? But I want to say something that Stephanie shared that I think is so important, about sharing information that you have with other people. Let's say you're prescribed a drug. Let's say for weight loss, you're prescribed Wegovy, or for diabetes, you're prescribed metformin. You know what? You're not going to share that with anybody. You're not going to share your injections with everybody you know. You're not going to share your metformin pills with everybody. You're not going to be handing them out, I hope. But what you can do is when you have knowledge of what worked with you, that you can share easily. And when you've got a plate of brownies that are vegan, low-fat brownies, like we have some in the book called Black and Blue Brownies, which it's a goofy name, but what they are is they have blueberries in them, a little bit of blueberries, and they have, catch this, they got black beans in the brownies. They disappear in the oven. Don't ask me how, but they become chewy and just really nice. So you make extra and you give them to your neighbor who does not believe that a plant-based diet can be good. And they will say, this is just cool. This is so great. Could I have the recipe? You make some chili. There's no reason to make a tiny little pot of chili. Make a big pot of chili. And then you could save some because you know how it gets better every day. And you can also give it to other people. So you can make extra spaghetti sauce. You can share these things around. And where knowledge fails, where you can't convince a person just cognitively, sometimes you reach them through their heart and sometimes through their taste buds. So anyway, that's something you just can't do with the medication.
Absolutely. Stephanie, there's a wonderful comment in the chat for you from Tommy Dutton saying, "Your motivation is amazing. I would not be here if it wasn't for her." So you've got a fan in the chat, and so do you, Dr. Barnard, several.
Thank you, Tommy. Thank you guys so much.
Yep, Dr. Barnard is amazing. If you guys feel he's amazing, then click the link below and buy the book. Dr. Barnard, one of the things, of the many things I found interesting in this book that you talked about was this idea of the calorie trapping effect. Can you expound on that a bit?
Yes, in 2017, researchers at Tufts University in Boston, which is one of the premier nutrition research universities in the world, they did a study that I don't think my research team here at PCRM is ever going to do. They brought in individuals for 6 weeks, half of them ate white bread, white rice, the fiber depleted foods. The other half had whole grain bread, brown rice, the fiber rich foods. And then what they did is they collected everybody's stool samples. Yes, they did. And they sorted through them and they looked for unabsorbed calories and they tested them out. Yes, we're not going to do this here. But what they discovered is that the fiber that you're eating, it breaks into little microfiber particles that go down and like tiny little sponges find unabsorbed calories, grab a hold of them and carry them right out with the waste. So yes, you are flushing calories down the toilet because fiber grabbed them. So on a white bread diet, there's not much fiber in it. You're going to absorb all those calories. Whole grain bread, just the opposite. So the moral of the story is if you have fiber in your diet, it comes from beans, that's the champion. Next up, vegetables. Next up, fruits. Next up, whole grains. If those are in your diet, you get plenty of fiber. If you're eating cheese, meat, eggs, overly refined foods, the fiber's gone. And the fiber keeps you regular. Sure, that's its big selling point. Some fibers reduce cholesterol. That's super. But did you know that they trap calories and carry them away? So it's good for about 100 calories a day that it will remove from, you know, so you can't absorb them. That's good. And we're going to add to that the appetite taming effect that certain foods have. That's good for about 200 calories a day. And then the metabolic burn that you get after the meal is good for maybe another 200. So maybe about 500 calories per day you're removing without being aware of it. You're not hungry. You're not running for 5 miles at the gym, which is, by the way, what you'd have to do at the gym if you want to burn off 500 calories. The food just do it, you know, without you lacing up your sneakers. Don't get me wrong. I love exercise. Great. Do it myself. But the foods have this effect on their own.
So really, exercise is important for a variety of reasons. But when it comes to weight loss, it's the food.
It's the food. And part of the reason that I say that with some assurance, while I love exercise and it is important, I don't want to diminish it at all. In our research studies, we need to isolate the effect of diet so that we know what the diet does. To do that, we have to ask our participants to keep their exercise levels steady. If you're not training for a marathon, do not do it now. If you're not exercising, do not do it. We keep it absolutely steady. And we have seen all of these effects from the food alone. That's important because you need to know what exercise will do. You need to know what food will do separate from exercise. In addition, there are some people where due to disability or other factors, exercise is not going to be a huge thing for them. And if those people think, well, I can't go to the gym and run some, wait a minute, you can do great because these foods are going to work for you whether you do extra exercise or not. So there you go. There are sometimes where people have so much weight that they're carrying that for them, really, I would focus on the foods now. Bring in the exercise as you're comfortable, but let foods do their work because their work is huge.
Yep. Stephanie, did you exercise while you were losing the weight?
You know, I didn't. And what Dr. Barnard said, it makes perfectly good sense. I was in no physical condition to even exercise. I went down my stairs once a day. I wasn't walking around very much. I could barely walk. I was pretty sick. So if somebody would have said, which most doctors did during my years of dieting and trying to lose weight, you know, if you would just exercise, if somebody would have said, if you just exercise, the weight would have come off, I should have lost weight for the last 30 years because I tried, it didn't work. And I don't think I got into exercising. You know, I started in January, February, March, around April was when I started dusting off my recumbent bike. So for the first 4 months, it was pretty rapid that the weight came off. And once the energy came on and I started feeling better, definitely I wanted to start moving. And then it just kind of kept going after that.
Absolutely. That's,
you know,
that's
that is, I'm sorry, you know, that is such a cool thing because I think as the weight starts coming off, exercise becomes more possible. And maybe in addition to that, you start to realize that you've got power that you didn't realize before. You feel more energized and you may be more inclined to want to exercise at that point.
Absolutely agree. Yeah.
Dr. Barnard, what is the thermic effect of food? I know you've studied that at PCRM in some of your research.
Yeah, the thermic effect of food, literally what it means is thermic, as in temperature. Your body cells, especially your muscles, are creating body heat. They're taking in calories, and instead of storing it, they burn it up as body heat. And the thermic effect of food is really, we call it the after-meal burn. So you eat foods, and depending on what the foods are, you will get this nice burn where you release a whole bunch of calories and they just dissipate. You don't store them. Now, let's say I try some butter. You're going to eat a pat of butter. Doesn't do anything to your metabolism. There's no after meal burn, nothing. Have two or three pats of butter, nothing. Eat the whole darn stick of butter and still nothing happens. These fatty foods don't really trigger much of an after meal burn because the fats break up, you absorb them, and it's the body doesn't need to do anything other than just store it away. On the other hand, a food that has healthy complex carbohydrate in it, plant proteins in it, causes this rapid rise in the after-meal burn. We measure it here. The participants sit in a chair and we put a mask on them. You feel like a jet fighter. It's measuring your carbon dioxide output and your oxygen intake, which with some pretty simple arithmetic gives us your metabolism, how many calories you burn per minute. And 6 in the morning, you got out of the bed. You came in here, you haven't had breakfast. And your metabolism is about as low as it's going to be all day. I give you a test breakfast, your metabolism, if it's got healthy complex carbohydrates and plant protein, and your metabolism will rise. And it stays high for about 3 hours. But the beauty of this, AJ, is that let's say I am now going to stick to a plant-based diet. And I'm going to keep oils really low. Something really cool happens, which is that inside those muscle cells, your muscles are your burners. Your muscles, that's what burns the more calories than anything else. Your muscle cells are saying, okay, you're on this vegan diet now, I see, and there's not a lot of extra fat in here. The muscle cells start dissipating the fat that they have accumulated. There is fat inside your muscle cells. It starts to go away. As that happens, the muscle is able to pull glucose out of your blood really easily. The glucose goes into your muscle cells. The muscles burn it up like crazy. So your after meal burn gets more and more effective. Now, it's not huge, but you might burn maybe 200 calories a day. And when a person has been on a vegan diet, their after meal burn will ramp up maybe about 15% or so. Not huge, but you did it after breakfast. And you did it again after lunch, and you did it again after dinner. So you kind of get this gentle but really noticeable weight loss effect. And this comes from the after meal burn.
That sounds great. So, some people are joining us a little bit late. So I just want to say that the book that we are talking about with Dr. Neil Barnard and Stephanie is called The Power Foods Diet. I've been providing links for you to order it. And some of you said you already have and are doing it now. And we appreciate it. Dr. Barnard, one of the live viewers is asking, you had talked about coconut oil. How does it raise cholesterol? I thought plants didn't contain cholesterol.
It doesn't contain. Oh, what a wonderful question. We're going to be PhDs by the time this broadcast is finished. Plants don't contain substantial amounts of cholesterol, or for the most part, none. And that's true of coconut oil. But you notice coconut oil, it's not liquid like corn oil. It's a waxy solid. It's, and sort of like bacon grease at room temperature, it's a waxy solid. That's a sign that the fat that's in it is saturated fat. That's the predominant fat. When that goes into your body makes more cholesterol. And that's the problem with it. So take coconut oil, put it in your hair, wax your car, wax your shoes, but I wouldn't need it.
That makes sense. Dr. Marner, I recently listened to a podcast you did. You have a wonderful podcast, PCRM Exam Room, hosted by the weight loss champion, Chuck Carroll. And you mentioned, and I wrote it down because I couldn't believe it, that they pay doctors $27 million to promote weight loss drugs. How can they do that?
You know, it's not a good thing. That figure is from one company alone. The true figure is much higher. Novo Nordisk. And the reason we looked this up is last January 2023, a year ago, CBS 60 Minutes ran a program all about Wegovy. And the program was 12 or 13 minutes, and it was really enthusiastic, a little bit too enthusiastic. And so we looked up, they quoted a couple of doctors, and we looked them up, and they were both paid by the Wegovy manufacturer, Novo Nordisk. And CBS itself was paid by Novo Nordisk as a sponsor. And there wasn't anybody, there was no medical experts who weren't paid by Novo Nordisk in the program. And so we then started looking at Novo Nordisk's payments to physicians generally, and it's about $27 million a year. Now, in the US alone. Now, you cannot pay a doctor for prescribing the drug. That's illegal. So what you do is you pay them for doing a conference presentation to their hospital staff about how great these drugs are, or you pay them a consulting fee. And it adds up to that figure, which is really troubling because I don't care who you are. When you're getting paid by a company that makes a commercial product, the words that come out of people's mouths tend to talk about that product. And what I've heard some of these people say on that program was that weight loss, overweight is genetic. And the reason we know it's genetic is because a big issue, a big risk for a child being overweight is having overweight parents. There is some truth to that because there are genes that affect weight, and weight problems do go through families. But we don't just give our children DNA. We give our kids recipes. We give our kids ways of thinking about foods. And that's what we inherited from our parents, isn't it? You know, it wasn't just the DNA. It was, here's what I have for breakfast. Here's what's normal to eat and what we don't eat. Those are ideas we learned from our parents. And that's why health issues so often are transmitted from one generation to another. And that's why I think it is so important to come back to the food, because if we give to our children food habits that are going to help them, you're giving them such an incredibly wonderful gift. You're breaking this cycle that problems go from parent to child. Instead, the love and care and good health goes from parent to child. And there's, you know, nobody has demonstrated that better than Stephanie with her family, in kind of a two-way street. And Stephanie, I hope you don't mind my talking about you in this way. But I'm so impressed by how you've done this.
I want to ask Stephanie a question if she ever considered weight loss drugs, but I just want to expound on something you said about genes and obesity. I once heard Dr. Baxter Montgomery say it's not just the genes that are passed down, but the recipes.
Yeah, he's right.
Yeah. Stephanie, did you ever in your journey to wanting to lose 100 pounds, either take weight loss drugs, consider them, or consider something like, you know, a weight loss surgery?
You know, my doctor always suggested, you know, trying those, I forget what it was called. It started with an O years ago. Olestra, I think it was, or stuff like this was being involved, or B12 shots. You know, they were always suggesting something, but I was nervous or I was leery. I think I just instinctively wanted to go to the normal foods, the pasta, the grains, but these were the fruits. These were the things that I was being told not to. And I agree very much with, it's how I learned to eat that was teaching how, you know, how my kids were eating, how I was doing things, how we were dieting constantly. I didn't take the weight loss drugs. I thought about doing a gastric bypass at one time. These things did cross my mind because I was so frustrated. But I thought, I'll give it one more day, one more shot. And then this came along, saved my life.
I'm so happy. And you're helping other people do the same. You know, Dr. Barnard, a lot of people, you know, will think, well, why not just take the weight loss drugs? You know, maybe I'll change my diet later. So what do you say about, you know, Wegovy, Ozempic? Is there a place for them?
Well, I can understand why people would turn to them, because first of all, it is a frustrating thing to try different kinds of diets and to see that maybe your results aren't the same as you read in the magazine that they're supposed to be. And people are looking for something that's going to work for them. And the marketing is hard to resist. I mean, it's everywhere. It's intense. But the typical experience with them is, first of all, when you take them, there are some side effects: nausea, vomiting, diarrhea. The second issue that comes up is plateauing, where you take the drug and you're not quite where you want to be, but you're like, wait a minute, I'm not at the weight I want. Why is my weight plateauing? And so the doctor gets into a bit of a wrangle with you, where you say, can I take a higher dose? And no, you're on the highest dose. What am I doing wrong? You're not doing anything wrong. That's what the drugs do. What else should I do? Well, you should cut calories. Wait, stop. Isn't that what got me into this in the first place? And so then you ask the question that the doctor does not want you to ask, which is, well, if I'm not getting any more benefit, can I stop now? Because then the doctor has to say, when you stop, you get all that weight back. Do I have to take it forever? Then for the rest of my life, I just have to keep paying so that I don't regain all that weight? The answer is, yeah, you do. How much? $15,600 per year. Now, that price is going to come down, I hope. But it's only going to come down sort of. It's going to come down partly. But where it is right now is Blue Cross Blue Shield did the numbers, and they said that for every 1% of people in your insurance group on Wegovy, everybody's insurance premium goes up $14.50 per month. So wait a minute. If 1% of people in my insurance group are on this drug, my premiums go up $14.50 a month. It pretty you don't have to do very much arithmetic before you realize that just isn't that's not our solution. Now, I would be prepared to say that there may well be people with unusual genetic conditions. Sometimes you'll see, this is not really common, but there are people where you have a whole bunch of genes all misbehaving at the same time, and appetite is really completely unhooked. And it may well be that there are cases where you would want to consider the use of these drugs. But the usual scenario is the doctor says, okay, if your BMI is over 30, which it is for lots of people, or over 27 with another combination, and if you have failed diet, then you could start injecting. Well, what diet were they given? Everybody fails a diet because the diets are not so hot. But what I would like to do instead is say, wait, maybe you could go down the Wegovy road, but before we think about that, let's describe what a plant-based diet really means. Let's support the person in doing it. You know, if a person had an orthopedic injury, you know, you wrench your knee. Every orthopedic surgeon knows, okay, you know, we can do a definitive treatment, but I'm also going to give you the support of a physical therapist who's going to help you along the way. Why don't we do that with obesity? We know for sure that weight issues are related to diet. Diet is a whole bunch of habits and cultural things that we need to kind of readjust. You need a professional to do it. That's a dietitian. Okay, so if you don't have access to a dietitian, get one. We have a service, it's free, called the Preferred Dietitian Referral. And if you live in Schenectady, New York, you go online, you find somebody, they might be in Albany, but they can do telemedicine for you. Cool. I live in Reno, I can find somebody in Las Vegas. Great. And even if insurance doesn't pay for a dietitian, you don't need 300 visits. A few visits will help you. Or, may even better, find a Food for Life instructor. Go to their classes if they are live. Go to their classes if they are online. Stick with them. They've got not just one series of classes. They got a whole bunch of them, like Stephanie's been describing. And they give you something more. In addition to that education, they give you support. They give you understanding. You know who they are. And that is so much support. You put that together, a little bit of information, a little bit of support, and you're on your way. You'll hit bumps in the road. I'm invited to a party where there's nothing to eat. I had to be at work and, you know, I was hungry, or I thought something was vegan. It really wasn't. Yeah, right. Everybody hits a bump in the road. There are always ways out, easier than you can imagine. That is the recipe for success.
Yeah, I just dropped something in the chat. I don't know if you guys saw it, your chat on Zoom. Somebody sent me an article today that Tracy Morgan, a very talented comedian, gained 40 pounds taking Ozempic.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, exactly. Anyway, I these are commercial products, and there's going to be a never-ending supply of them. But my hope is that we'll continue to recognize that food is really the issue here.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, no matter how many wonderful books you write on weight loss or reversing diabetes or other topics, people are still afraid to eat carbohydrates. They don't realize that there's a big difference between the complex carbohydrates like potatoes, sweet potatoes, rice and beans, and, you know, sugar and flour.
That's true, but I learned something from one Stephanie Ignafo about special magical tacos and things that you can make that happen to have actually carbohydrates in them, and they taste great.
What are your magical tacos?
Anything with beans, just regular tacos, bean tacos.
And sweet potatoes and things
like
that.
Tacos, yeah, sweet potato tacos. There's so many things I want to comment on just to say people aren't eating enough carbs. You know, so many people are restricting themselves. And Dr. Barnard, when you were given those numbers about calorie burn, that really makes sense for people. When I say, you know, eat your plants off, what I mean by that is I need people to eat more foods and trust this process. And you're really describing it perfectly. Some people are shocked to hear in my group or in my classes, when you're sticking low fat, high fiber, people are reaching 1800, 2000 calories, and they don't understand why they're losing 2 to 3 pounds a week like this. But over and over and over again, this is how this is working, exactly like he's saying. It's wonderful. I want people to trust the process, eat the complex carbohydrates, because what's been working or what you've been doing maybe isn't working. And what I found really exciting was, like most diets, I thought this was going to end in 3 weeks. I thought in 3 weeks, you know, I'd lose the weight, that this would stop. But I kept eating and I kept eating and I kept eating. It all stayed low fat. We kept it these power foods. It just kept coming off. This was something that I had never seen. So this mitochondria talk, this burning up these, getting this burning up inside of you. This works. This absolutely makes sense. You know, at 50, I'm going to be 53 in a couple months. My metabolism has never worked this great. And then same for everybody, you know, at Plantspiration, everybody doing this, eating low fat, whole food, plant-based, the results are typical when you're doing it like this.
Yeah. You know, Stephanie, you remind me of something that I think is really cool. You talked about the need to make sure that the complex carbohydrates are there. And there's one more reason that people may not have heard of. What Wegovy does is it's a synthetic GLP-1 agonist is what it is. It goes to the brain and attaches to this receptor, this GLP-1 receptor, and turns down your appetite. That's what it does. Well, your body makes GLP-1 normally. It's made in your gut. That's where it all came from. And Novo Nordisk just copies it. In effect, it's a synthetic. But my research colleague here, Dr. Hanna Kaliova, endocrinologist, runs our research studies, brilliant mind, did an amazing study. She brought in people and she fed them first a meat meal. And the food goes down your digestive tract and it's supposed to trigger GLP-1 to go to your brain and turn down your appetite. The meat meal doesn't do that very effectively. But then if you realize that fiber does this, complex carbohydrates do it, and meat doesn't have those. Okay, wait, stop. Let's do the experiment again. But let's put in a meal that's got complex carbohydrates and fiber, the stuff that Stephanie was just talking about. Goes down your digestive tract. It turns on the GLP-1, and the GLP-1 spikes, and it goes to the brain, and it turns down your appetite. So this is effectively the Wegovy effect, but it's Mother Nature's version of it within your body that is dormant in you as long as you are trying to be a carnivore. Or it's not working as well. And when you eat the meals that your body was designed for, then that mechanism kicks in more effectively.
Thank you. You know, I'm curious, Dr. Barnard, we know the right foods to eat, but what role does adding things like fat, sugar, and salt play in people's ability to either lose weight or not lose weight?
You know, AJ, I'm glad you asked that. You know, you said we know the foods that we should be eating. So many people do feel that way. You know, or the doctor says, you should be eating right. And the patient says, yeah, I kind of eat right. People think they know what to eat, but the truth is they don't. They're just all kind of defining it in their own way. That's the big problem with it. So fat, this is not rocket science. Every dietitian memorizes this on the first day of dietetic training. Fat has 9 calories in every gram. Carbohydrates have only 4. Protein has only 4. So every fat that you eat, whether it is dairy fat, meat fat, fat out of an egg, or even vegetable oils, it's got 9 calories. So you will fill up on a fatty food, but by the time you've filled up, the calorie burden that you just took on is huge. So that's why fatty fish is a big problem. That's why dairy meat is a big problem. There's no fiber in it, no complex carbs, just this big glob of calories that we call fat. And then with regard to sugar and salt, there are natural salts that we need, and they are natural in the foods. There are natural sugars that are there as well. However, the potato chip manufacturer realizes that if you salt it up a little extra, frankly, you just can't resist them. And if you sugar up the cookies a little bit more, you can overpower our brain that evolved with appetite controls before anybody ever figured out how to extract sugar from sugar cane and put it into cookie dough. The things that we get addicted to are all products of technology that did not exist when human beings were evolving. We didn't have tobacco that you could smoke. We didn't have alcohol that you could drink. We didn't have sugar. People weren't milking cows yet. So all of these issues, all of these kind of addictions came in later because we don't really have very good defenses against them.
Yeah, thank you. So here's a question from a live viewer named Linda. I'm insulin resistant. Approximately how long will it take on a low-fat, whole food plant-based diet to begin to reverse the insulin resistance?
About 30 minutes. I'm not kidding with you. Give me just a minute to describe what insulin resistance is for people who want to know. Normally your muscles work on glucose. Glucose is the fuel that goes into your muscles, and that and your muscle is strong because it can take that sugar and it can burn it up and use it. Glucose goes to your brain, it goes to all the parts of the body, but for your muscles, favorite fuel. Here's the problem. That glucose cannot get into the muscle cell at all. The muscle cell excludes it. The cell membrane keeps it out until the insulin hormone comes to the muscle. The insulin that your pancreas makes gets to the muscle. It opens the muscle cell up. The sugar goes inside. Hope this isn't too complicated. So to get sugar in the cell, insulin opens it up. What is causing that system to not work very well is fatty foods that we eat. The fat particles get into the blood, they get into the muscle cells, and the fat particles build up inside the muscle. This is not thigh fat. This is not belly fat. This is microscopic fat particles inside your muscles. When the and we can visualize it with magnetic resonance spectroscopy, we can see it. It's there. And when your muscle cells are filled with fat, suddenly the blood sugar can't get out of the blood into the muscle because the muscle is filled with fat. So you said, all right, time frame, how long will this take? Let's say you are young, skinny, healthy, following a great healthy diet. If I give you a fatty meal, you can become insulin resistant starting within 30 minutes. It can, if researchers, Michael Roden and others have done this, that what you discover is that right away after the fatty meal, the fat streams into your blood within minutes, starts getting into the cell, and you start seeing the insulin sensitivity starting to tank. And 4, 5, 6, 7 hours later, you are significantly insulin resistant. Let's do the opposite. Your cells are filled with fat. Let me feed you a meal that doesn't have any fat in it, effectively, no added fat, no animal fat, very little oils. The opposite happens. And it's happening now, minute by minute. Your cell says, all right, I got all this fat. I guess I better burn it up, let it dissipate. It happens meal by meal. So you don't have to wait 8 months for this to happen. And this is really important. We do diabetes studies where people have diabetes and they're injecting insulin. And we have to tell them this diet is so powerful and it's starting now. I want to make sure your doctor knows that you're doing this because we're going to have to ramp you down on your medications as you get better. So the process starts. Let it start.
True. I'm going to say true. Somebody's texting me right now. Their numbers continue to go down. Everybody's a little different. You know, what they're eating is a little different. But like Dr. Barnard said, we're seeing people when they stick to this and get it going, get that fiber in, keep it low fat. I've had people reverse or get off the medications within as little as 3 weeks from their doctor, of course, watching them. But it could be months. It could be. It's worth going at it, though, and stopping this disease from progressing is what I want to tell people. Get those good foods in and get this under control. You have a better shot at that than what medicine can do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, there is one thing that I should, there's one caution I should give people. When you're starting, let's say you're very insulin resistant, and then you'll sit down to a meal, and you'll eat, let's say you eat a meal that has a fair amount of carbohydrate in it, your blood sugar will rise. And it'll rise now more than it will be rising later. Normally, your blood sugar should rise a little bit after you eat a sugary or high carbohydrate meal because the sugars are getting into your blood. They're working their way into your muscles. If you are really insulin resistant, the insulin resistance will start to dissipate. But in the beginning, your blood sugars might rise more than you would expect because you're eating a lot more carbohydrate. Talk with your doctor, make sure your doctor is monitoring you, but you will see that that starts to turn around and starts to melt away. And we've seen people become hypoglycemic within the first week, particularly if people are on insulin or a sulfonylurea drug.
Marjorie, who's watching live, is asking, well, how many grams of carbohydrate should we get every day? I'm at about 200 grams. I think I get way more than that.
Never count. Take your calculator and just leave it there for doing your taxes. That's what it's for.
Yeah. One of the viewers is saying, well, how much fruit can I have in a day if I want to lose weight? And when should I eat it? I'm whole food, plant-based, very low fat, no oil.
People are afraid of fruit, you know, yeah. because of the kind of carbophobia that's in the air. Especially, you know, what's really funny is I grew up with an apple a day keeps the doctor away. You know, apples are healthy, but people say, oh, I won't eat it because it's got fructose in it. It's got da-da-da-da-da. Wait. Researchers actually put this to the test. They wanted to see how fattening can an apple be. And they brought in a group of individuals and they actually had them have 3 apples a day. Now, I don't know if I ever ate 3 apples in a day, but they said, do this every day because you're in a research study. So everyone was eating their 3 apples a day, day after day after day after day after day. Now, with all that extra fruit, how much weight do you think they gained? Zero. They lost weight. Why would you lose weight? Because you're adding food. How could you lose weight? You're adding a food that has a lot of water in it, a lot of fiber in it, that ends up crowding out other stuff. And so as a result, your calorie intake actually starts dropping. So fruit is fine. Fruit is A-okay. Enjoy it. Stephanie, you must be having lots of fruit for your in your family and use it as a snack or a dessert.
We go through fruit like mad. I've got a fruit stand that's this high. It's our go-to. And also, Dr. Barnard, what I found is all these people that have diabetes or insulin resistance, I noticed they're not eating a lot of fruit. You know, they're not eating those fruits. So eating the fruits is what I see people take on that we start seeing improvement, like you said, with the water, with feeling better. I mean, where else are we going to get vitamins, minerals, nutrients, phytonutrients, fiber? These are the foods people need.
Yeah. You know, when a person has diabetes, they're afraid of fruit because they're so insulin resistant that when they eat foods, including fruit, their blood sugar will rise. And so their doctor said, well, don't eat it. What the doctor left out was the fact that their cells are filled with fat. And when you start getting that out, then your ability to consume these fruits gets better and better and better. It gets back to where it should be. It gets back to normal.
Right. Well, one of the viewers is worried because of their blood sugar, and they're saying they've been eating the way you suggest. This is Judith for 6 weeks. She loves it, but her blood glucose and A1C have risen significantly. Is this normal?
Okay. Couple things. First of all, if you have diabetes, do talk with your doctor. That's important. Don't throw your medications away. Don't cancel your doctor's appointment. Follow your doctor's advice. Regarding diet, what we want to do is we want to try to get the fat out of our cells, as I was mentioning. We're going to scoop it out. And the way we do that is we avoid animal products completely, which it sounds like you're doing, which is great. Oils have to be reduced too, because oils will do the same thing. Even a healthy oil like canola oil will cause insulin resistance too, very rapidly. So if you're eating, and I'm going to break your heart a little bit, lots of nuts, lots of seeds, added oils, and even guacamole, which everybody loves. I'm sorry to say the avocado is the one fruit that is just loaded with fat. So anyway, for right now, if you're trying to conquer insulin resistance, just set those foods aside for now. Because we want to see what we can do to get the fat out of our cells. For most people, that'll take care of the problem. If you're really insulin resistant and this process is taking a while, then what you might want to do is eat your meals a little more slowly rather than challenging yourself with a huge amount all at one time. Have half your meal, wait a little bit, have the other half. Go for a walk afterwards. Why? Because your muscles, when they're walking down the road, start pulling the glucose out of your blood, your blood sugar starts coming down. Don't forget to drink water, eat plenty of vegetables, and you'll find that for the most part, these problems will start melting away.
Great. Stephanie, there's a question from you, from Porter. What course did you take?
In terms of which part?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Because
there's a lot of courses that, first, it was the T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition courses, if that's what we're talking about. I became a licensed Food for Life instructor. I completed the American College of Lifestyle Medicine, Lifestyle Medicine coaching program. And I'll get my hands on any nutrition education, CEU course that I can get, all the ICNM conferences, International Conference of Nutrition and Medicine. So basically, over the past 10 years, I've taking thousands of hours of nutrition education, any chance and anywhere that I can possibly get. And I'm teaching the medical students at Rutgers. I've had the opportunity to bring Food for Life classes to them and to the medical students at NYU as well.
Wow, that is fantastic. You know, Dr. Barnard, we started the discussion earlier talking about whether or not a calorie is just a calorie, but I'm curious, is a fat gram just a fat gram? So we know to avoid oils or keep them low, as you say, but does it matter if the fat comes from a nut, a seed, or avocado? Not necessarily in terms of healthfulness, but at least in terms of losing weight, because a lot of people feel they've got to really eat a lot of nuts for optimal health.
Well, you know, you can make a good pitch for nuts. Nuts have vitamin E in them. The quality of fat is pretty good in a walnut or something like that. The only issue is that nuts are in a tree. surrounded by a shell. And so the idea that you could get your hands on a huge amount of them is kind of remote. Mother Nature thought she had it all figured out. But little did she realize that factories can take all those nuts, remove all the shells, so that you're never up in the tree, and you can have a huge amount of nuts. In fact, they will salt them. They'll label them smokehouse, and they will make them absolutely irresistible. And so that's the problem that we run into with nuts, is the quantity of them that we have. And so if a person has accumulated a lot of body fat, or if they've accumulated fat inside their muscles leading to insulin resistance, then that's a time where you're going to want to really minimize these things. And if you're healthy, if you're thin, if you don't have any hormonal issues, a person can have, you know, an ounce a day of nuts or something like that. But you, by the way, use them as an ingredient. Don't use them as a primary food group. Use them as a flavoring on your oatmeal or on your pancakes or on your salad or something like that.
So Mar is saying, oh my God, I wish my husband could hear you, Dr. Barnard. He's pre-diabetic and his doctor told him not to eat any fruit and he's afraid to change and eat plant-based. How should I make him understand? Well, this is being recorded. So for one, have him watch this discussion, maybe have him read Dr. Barnard's latest book, or of course he has one on reversing diabetes. But do you find that that's a problem sometimes, is convincing or having other people make the change?
It was 2003 when NIH funded our research team to try to find a better way with diabetes. And our control group, the comparison group, followed limited carbohydrate, limited calorie diet, the kind of thing that was routine at the time in diabetes clinics and still is today in many areas. The experimental diet that we were trying 21 years ago was no animal products, and we kept oils really, really low. And the foods that we favored were not just plant foods, but the low glycemic plant foods, the ones that don't spike your blood sugar. Things like fruit, beans, lots of vegetables, but unlimited quantities, unlimited carbohydrate. And what we found, which we published in Diabetes Care, which is the journal published by the American Diabetes Association, and what we presented at their conference, was the fact that the plant-based diet was three times more effective at blood sugar control compared to the best current diet. And it became the state of the art. And so there are plenty of doctors who may not have read those journals or been at those conferences, and they're still saying sort of some of these things from the past. But I think it's really time for all doctors, and not only just doctors, but dietitians and everybody who's working in this space, to understand what caused the diabetes to get worse. How do you tackle insulin resistance? And it's the things that we've been talking about. Get the animal products out of your diet, not just a little bit, but keep them out now.
Absolutely.
Completely. And what you'll discover is that that way, not only are you helping your body to lose weight and you're helping your insulin resistance to go away, but you're also helping your tastes to adjust. If you reignite your taste by having chicken wings on Saturday, you're never going to forget. It's like a smoker who has a cigarette once every 3-4 days. Let it go. Use the process of forgetting, which is a good thing. And keep oils really low. Find the foods that you really enjoy. And what you'll see is that your progress is much faster than it otherwise would have been.
And one way to get started is to get Dr. Barnard's new book. It comes out on March 26th. I've been posting the link below. Click it now. It really helps when you buy it in advance or the first week it comes out. Anything either of you want to say to end this wonderful discussion?
Well, I just want to say to everybody, if there's somebody in your life that you love and you want to see them get better, or you'd like to make an impact or like to see them take on the plants, the biggest impact you could make is take control of the grocery shopping that you do and take on the plants yourself, because truly you are the biggest inspiration that you can be for your family, your friends, your neighbors, and your loved ones, your coworkers. So keep eating the plants, get the book. This is how we do it. Keep eating your plants often. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Stephanie. Congratulations on your success. And thank you for helping other people achieve it as well. Dr. Barnard, Cheryl is live saying she cannot wait to meet you in person in the book signing that you're going to be doing here in Sacramento near where I live on April 25th.
Well, I can't wait. I have to say, I want to say a big thank you to Stephanie for helping me spread this message and letting me tell your story in the book. But AJ, I want to say a special thank you to you. You have been doing this for a long period of time. You've been talking to people about what's harmful to them that they can move away from. You've showed people what's good for them, and you've shown it by knowledge, by example, by encouragement. So AJ, we just look up to you. I have looked up to you for all these years that I've known you, and I want to thank you for everything you've done. And you're going to be there with us in Sacramento.
I can't wait to see you.
I am going to sing your praises. Can I mention this, AJ? Do you mind my saying this?
Not at all, because I have not seen you in person for close to 10 years, okay. It feels like.
Well, in Sacramento, at that event, you and Linda Middlesworth are getting the Voice of Compassion Award from the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. I'm coming there personally, and I'm going to give it to you along with my gratitude.
Oh my God, I'm so honored. Thank you so much. I was going to let you go, but there's a question, Stephanie. How does one either take a PCRM class or become a PCRM Food for Life instructor?
You can search for a local Food for Life instructor. You can sign up at Plantspiration and take classes. And to be a Food for Life instructor, you can go to PCRM.org, look up Food for Life instructor, and fill out the application and start getting it back into your community too.
And by the way, Stephanie, would you mind giving your website for Plantspiration in case people haven't found that?
Sure, I'd be happy to. You guys can find me at plantspiration.org. I have a wonderful lifestyle medicine approach to learning how to prevent, reverse disease, lose weight, and feel great.
And Stephanie, I do have your information in the show notes as well. Sorry, I was going to let you go, Dr. Barnard, but this might be an important question to some people, of viewers asking, why do you say keep oils low? Why not avoid them altogether?
Okay, we're going to do the next hour, right? Okay. The reason I say that, why not avoid oils altogether, is because there are natural oils in foods. If you take a sprig of broccoli, you think there's no oil in it. Send it to a laboratory. They'll tell you it's about 7% natural oils. If you take a bean, it's maybe 4% natural oils. What I'm saying that you should avoid is the added oils. So, you know, that bottle of oil that came from Tuscany that everyone is bragging about because it's got the word virgin in it. People don't know what it means, but it sounds good. So you dribble it all over your plate. That added oil, you don't need. It came from olives. The olives have natural oil. That's okay. But it's the added oils that we're running into trouble with.
Great. Thank you.
Make sense?
Thank you so much for explaining. Thank you. Yeah, that's why it's hard to be, you can't be fat, really hard to be fatty acid deficient if you're eating enough old natural plant food.
Right.
Absolutely. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, Dr. Barnard. Thanks all of you for watching another episode of Chef AJ Live. Get the book and please come back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Pacific time for my birthday. And it will be a special show with Dr. Alan Goldhammer, Dr. Doug Lyle. And we're going to talk about the hidden force that undermines health and happiness. Thanks for watching, everyone. Take care. Bye-bye.